Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi everyone. Hello.
Hello. Hey guys, I'm sorry for the delay. That's unfortunately it happens when you have back to back to back to back to back meetings.
Yeah, I was just talking to
Hope
you an hour ago.
it, yeah, I had a meeting. I had two meetings after that too, Peter.
What a day, what a day.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Happens.
Hopefully it happens. Well, hopefully everyone's having a good start to your new year. And we're going to go ahead and get started as soon as I remember to post the link here to the agenda. Okay, share my screen. Okay. All right, so I'm just, I mean, these are just some brief announcements here about there's a CSP5. The module release deadline was last week. It appears that it might be a GA date of February 3rd, but I didn't have a chance to make sure to confirm this with Alexei, but that's what I last saw on a dashboard. And then there will be a CSP for Sunflower 6. With a TBD date. So just letting you know of the timing. I know Alexei will talk more about it on Thursday about the timing for both of these releases. Any questions about the two Sunflower CSPs? Okay. All right, moving on. Sprint demos. So we're going to go ahead and proceed with what Steph has proposed. She'll create monthly playlists January 20 this next last month or well actually this month January 2026. Don't know why I can't say that. Playlists will be published next week. They're already Some playlists that are already published to the Open Library Foundation YouTube channel that folks can see. And we'll announce the community the week of the February 16th that we're moving forward with allowing folks to view Sprint demos. As Steph has said, we just want to get the information out there and available and easily accessible to users as far as its format, It's whatever you can provide. We don't want to add significant amount of work to people, but we do know that there is definitely been a need for from customer, from users, from the community to know more about what's being developed, and not know it at the time of Bugfest or sometimes afterwards. So this is just a way to do that. And again, hopefully it will not add significant amount of work to people who decide to do it or can't do it. And then next on notes on functionality redesign that Christine presented the last time we met, the PC Working Group on Release Communication reviewed it. They are going to provide feedback, but I would like for us to just proceed with implementing the change for Trillium. For those who would, prefer to just put their information in a table, that's fine. But for those who would prefer, I'm sorry, there's someone who's off mute that is causing an echo. One second. At least for me. Okay. But for those who, who can create those pages, we just start, and we started with Trillium. We get feedback from the working group. We continue to refine it, and then and hopefully we've got something in place going forward that gives people a well-rounded view of what we're planning to do for release. And then last update from me, announcement from me is to please update your Trillium features and user story statuses. We want to just make sure we understand what features might be at risk for not completing for Trillium, and which ones people need need some more support with. Those are my announcements. Does anybody have any thoughts or announcements of their on their of their own? Okay. With that, we got some guests today, and the first guest is Alameda. Alameda, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Hey. So Alameda, the floor is yours to talk to this group about the technical council's plans to evaluate existing modules. So Alameda, I'm going to stop sharing my screen and take it away.
Thank you, Kalila. I'm a bit under the weather today, so pardon my voice. I will have a page in Confluence about this topic sometime after this meeting, and I will reach out to Kalila or reach out to Kalila to find a good place to post a link to that document just for more clarity. The Technical Council is running a pilot to evaluate existing modules. So most of you are aware that when you have a new module you want to introduce to Folio, you need to get approval from the PC and the TC. The TC will evaluate the module on its technical merits. Once the module has been approved, we generally don't hear from the modules again. So we have a problem that the module evaluation, the new module evaluation, that is when you want to introduce a new module into Folio, wasn't started at the beginning of Folio's existence. So there are some modules that predate the existence of the process, and there are some that maybe they've changed since they were evaluated. So another problem we would have is I can approve your module today, and then by tomorrow, you go rewrite your module in assembly language, and unless somebody speaks up in the community, generally it's left as is. The module criteria was thought about for a long time. Lots of things include licensing requirements so that Folio is not in a pickle, and that's licensing of dependencies we use in our code, together with a bunch of consistencies that would allow an improved development experience overall. So we've always had that gap where once a new module has been approved, we don't know what's going on, or we can't even say, hey, this is the state of our modules today. So the existing module evaluation is to say, hey, we have a breadth of modules today. What can we do to ensure that the quality is still being met? So we understand the constraints of the project overall and the amount of resources that are available. So we can't be heavy-handed, but we believe that awareness is good. So we don't know what we don't know. There might be critical issues with some modules today, and we would never be able to find that out. The TC has a challenge in that with over 100 modules, reviewing each one by hand will take a really long time. But we believe this effort is worthwhile, so we established a pilot with two modules, a back-end and a front-end module, preferably modules that didn't exist when the module evaluation criteria was selected. So those two modules are Mod EBSCOnet and UI Export Manager. Prior to the initiation of the pilot, I reached out to the POs of those two modules to kind of give similar descriptions that I'm doing today about what we are trying to do. So once the evaluation is done, the TC will get feedback to see what's working, what's not working, and how we would want to proceed going forward. There are significant hurdles to getting this process off the ground, but we wanted to do our due diligence to know what is possible. Are there any questions that I can answer specifically from anyone? So the if for some reason this process is scalable in the near term, we're not expecting to say, hey, this module doesn't pass and we have to kick it out of the platform. That is not the case. It's more of a awareness, and we are hoping on the professionalism of the teams to say, oh yes, this is not following, the standards, and we will prioritize, whenever that is. But ultimately, it's a awareness thing. So if this process were to kick off, there is no threat of immediate work or anything like that. One feedback that I've gotten is that so this pilot was supposed to be lightweight. The reviewers are supposed to look at the code, look at what they need, and produce a report. Our expectation was that the interface with the dev teams, the owning dev teams, was very minimal. But it has been communicated that maybe it's significant, especially given that the modules are older and it's not top of mind for the teams, and they have to do some research to get answers for the questions posed by the reviewers. So that is one feedback that I'll be taking to the TC to see how this will work out. So I welcome any other feedback as necessary. Like I said at the top of the meeting, there'll be a page detailing what this process is, and there will be a sub page for feedback as well if you come up with anything. That will be all for me if there aren't any questions. All righty. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ade. And I think there may be more questions when you create that document for people to respond to. But I appreciate your time, especially since you were under the weather. You are under the weather, not were, but still under the weather.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But thanks again for your time. And we'll be. I think once we see the document, I think hopefully it will be helpful. People have a good understanding and generate questions.
Certainly.
Yeah, and I do see Owen's note about that, about the fact that may not pass this assessment. So I guess in Alameda's document, I guess he'll maybe give some clarity as to what happens. It happens if you don't pass the assessment. All right, we're going to move on. And we're going to have Ludwig and Martina talk about the documentation working group and have them give a quick update and kind of, tell us how we can work with them better, or, how we can continue to work with them and deepen our relationship with the group. So, Ludwig, Martina, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. Maybe so I don't know if you know what the documentation working group does. I'm the convener of the documentation working group, and maybe I will show this. So we are actually what we are doing, writing the end user documentation for Olio. And we had a lot of new writers in the last year, and so we discussed about how we could improve the collaboration between POs, and we're thinking about standardization. And we also realized that you're in your discussion, you're discussing changes in the release notes, and so we brainstormed a little bit what could improve the collaboration between POs and documentation specialists, and we created this document and discussed it beforehand with Kalila, and we realized that some points all are already done, but some of us didn't know. And but there were some main points we wanted, or I want to present to you. We discussed that there should be an option for a pre-release meeting between the documentation specialists and the POs for it each area. So just prior to Bugfest, to align on changes. And we don't think that this should formalize because there's a difference between really big changes and one little bug. And so we realized it should be initiated by us, by the writers of the documentation working group, when we have the feel that it is needed. And we would appreciate if you were open to this idea, and We know you already, or some of you are already doing this. And the next point was we discussed a new standardized Jira label. So, because when you're making changes to Folio, if it would be very helpful for the documenters if you tagged it in Jira as doc needed. And in we had this discussion in December, and in when I'm remembering correctly, Kalila wanted to discuss this with the POs, but I'm not sure if you did this or if we are doing it right now. Kalila, can you remember this part with the
Can you repeat that? Sorry, Ludwig.
we did discuss in when we met in December this doc needed label in Jira. So this part here, and when I'm remembering correctly, you said you would discuss this with someone, but I'm not sure what the outcome was. So are we doing this or not?
No, because I haven't discussed this. So we I think this is probably something that I think when we had planned to meet before, last month, I think I was
Yeah.
holding off to talk about it. So I think what you're proposing is that there's a filter, like we create a filter in order that we could use to say, hey, this is a requirement that may
Yes. Yeah.
require a document change.
Yeah.
And I believe this doc needed label was the label that the working group had proposed that gets used. So
Yes.
it's a way that the working group can build out a filter or a dashboard to know, oh, okay, that we've made a change to the MARC authority searching of fields. And so in this case, person responsible for MARC authority documentation would know, okay, I'll be prepared for that.
Yes,
Okay.
exactly. Yeah.
So now I explained it. Sorry for delay in explaining
Yeah.
it. 1 second, Charlotte has her hand raised.
Yeah.
So maybe it will be most useful if we add this new label on the feature level, so the UX prod ticket, and not on every single UI ticket being, yeah,
I
because
think
that
it's
can
going
be
to.
noise. Then take what we have of UI tickets in for Trillium. We probably have 400 tickets or something.
Yeah, I think it's going to depend. I think there's some cases where putting it on the feature will make sense, Charlotte. I think there are times when it's a, sometimes we have a, some of us have buckets for features like inventory, MARC authority enhancements, and there might be an enhancement that's a story that is related to, adding a new shortcut. So in that case, I do think it might make sense to, it does make sense to add it to that specific feature story when it, when the, it's tied to a feature that's really vague. So I think as we just need to make sure that the filter can account for any Jira feature story defect that has that label. We can always refine this process, with Ludwig and the team if it seems like it's getting noisy or if it's unclear, but maybe we go with that approach for now. It's up to the PO's discretion of how they want to add that label. That's how I would how that's I think that's maybe the starting point for now. That's just my take, but I don't know. What do others think?
Sounds okay because I can see there's different, but when I'm just thinking about the new work on reading room circulation, it will not make sense to just mechanically add dog needed on every single UI ticket because then you will it will be noisy. But if it's up to the PO to give the best. This is all about providing information for the writers, so that's fine.
Okay, so this sounds good to me, and I think we have to discuss it in the documentation working group, where we have to place it. Or did I understand that correctly? Or did the discussion move on and you decided it will be on this feature left?
I think it's going to be up to the PO, and it could
Okay,
be on
up
the
to the
feature
PO. Okay.
level. It
Yeah,
could be on the
okay.
feature, it could be on a task, it could be on a story,
Yeah.
it could be on a defect, whatever. It will
Yeah,
be up to the
wherever.
PO. And then if the working group finds that filter that you guys create, it's a little crazy, then let's just reevaluate and determine what's going to be most useful for your group.
Yeah, so we will start this process, and then we will evaluate it in a
Yeah. So our,
sometime.
yes, and so our PO's ready to start this process with Trillium.
Okay.
No, I'm asking the question of POs and Ludwig.
Okay.
I'm actually okay. I
Okay.
see some thumbs up. So just asking to make sure we're okay with it. If anyone has any concerns, please speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, I see a lot of thumbs up. So we're going to start this process with adding the doc needed to any issue in Trillium that we feel we want to alert our the documentation working group that they should be aware of and document. So moved if we're following Robert's rules of order, whatever that is. Okay, Ludwig, we've made the decision. We're going to do it. And
Sounds
now,
good to
please
me,
proceed
so
with your pre.
yeah, and then we discussed if there is a need to a co collaborative editing space between the documentation working group and the POs. The canvases in Slack could help because some of our writers thought that they had a lot of chat in Slack and they weren't able to track the conversation in the end, and so we came up with the idea that this might help if the writer feels the need, they could open Canvas. And the last point was about the release notes. And then Kalila informed us that you already realized that, no, she told us that you're already in the progress of a makeover of the release notes. And some of our ideas are already covered. So I guess there's nothing else to this.
Yeah, I would say we'd love for the documentation working group to review what we've proposed as updates and give their feedback as well.
Yep.
So I think I can't remember if I shared the links in the meeting. I thought I did, but if I did not, I can share them again and again.
Is it this one?
No.
input to doc working. Here we.
Notes on functionality beta. Yeah,
So we
that was the
already have. Okay.
if you could review that, and I'll also post a link to the Sprint demo playlist,
Okay.
so that your team can review that and let us know again if the Sprint demos are also meeting your needs as far as documentation.
What was the name of this, the sprint?
It's called Sprint Demos, but I'm going to share with you
The
a
sprint
playlist
demos.
that's on the Open Library Foundation YouTube channel.
Okay. So thanks a lot for helping us starting this progress. So, and we will see if the changes will help. So, Martina, do you want to add anything? Did I forget something?
No, I think you didn't forget. But maybe just that we know that some of you are already working with the documentation specialist and helping them and proofread, for example. So just to let you know that there is already good progress or good collaboration, but we came up with maybe a brainstorm of maybe improving. Or, as Ludwig said in the beginning, we have a lot of new writers who needs a little bit onboarding, for example. So thank you again for your time today. So, and thanks, Ludwig, for presenting.
Yeah. And thank you for rounding this up politely. Okay. So that's from us.
Thank you, Ludwig, and thank you, Martina. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts they'd like to share with Martina, Ludwig? Okay. Well, thank you both, and appreciate your time in just giving us an update as to the documentation work group and your needs and how we can help each other. So thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Last but not least, I just want to share I made an update to the UX for known issues because given the length of Trillium, it's caused many issues that were, it's caused in some cases some issues. It Trillium's been lengthy, and obviously it's impacted Sunflower, especially when it comes to what we're releasing to to folio libraries. So, and also we have like ECS and non-ECS issues, and it was just getting a little bit chaotic, at least for I'll be honest, for me and looking at the list. And then I could only imagine users like would ha that had to go to this page and try to figure out, okay, what issues, known issues actually impact my institution. And when you're kind of bone push putting the ECS and non-ECS items together, it makes it really confusing. So I decided to just change the view of this. When you go to the Sunflower Known Issues page now, you'll see that there are some there's a table of contents here that allows you to get to a specific area. The filters, I will admit, are very crude because it was like I just want to figure out a way to get this information out. I agree and Owen, mentioned it too in his feedback, which I appreciate, is that we could definitely refine these filters much better. I agree with that, but I wanted to just get something out there for people. So we have the table of contents, and then under each of these areas, I'm gonna pick on metadata management, you'll see there's a non-ECS section. Of course, when you demo something, that's when it takes 100 years for something to show up. Let me refresh to see if it makes anything better. Probably not. Well, picture it. If I'm Sophia Petrillo from Golden Girls, there would be a table that shows all the known issues and the same thing that are known non-ECS, and then this would be an ECS section. I'm gonna check ERM because ERM has a small number of issues. It's just taking a while. Dang it. So anyway, picture it as if I'm Sophia Petrillo. This would list the issues for non-ECS, and then the issues for ECS. So hopefully it makes it easier for users to find the issue, to understand what they're facing when they're upgrading to Sunflower. Now non-ECS appears. Boom. Great. Perfect. I'm just going to look in chat, but in the meantime, any questions? Yeah, exactly. Tom. So for those who don't know what I'm referring to, just watch Golden Girls. It's a great show. And you'll know exactly why I'm saying picture it all the time, and this why I said picture it. So, any questions about this change? Any feedback about this change?
I just have a question, and maybe it's because it's late my afternoon here. So, how do we edit these tables, or are they generated automatically?
They're generated automatically, Charlotte. They're filters.
Yeah, okay. So I do not need to worry.
Exactly. We just
Okay.
need to. I. Well, you don't need to worry about updating it because it's just based on a Jira filter. What I need to work on is improving those Jira filters, so that they're not
Okay.
just to refine them, but there is no editing that anybody has to do besides because right now, yeah, there's no work you got to do on these tables.
Excellent. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions about this view? Okay. I'm just gonna look in chat again. Yeah, that's true. I play around with Jira filters all the time, to the point that I think in some cases for some people it can be really annoying because I'm like, let's do this and do that. But I did that. So it's done. If this is an approach you guys are okay with, we'll try to adopt this approach with Trillium, with better filter queries, better queries than we have for Sunflower right now. All right, I don't have anything else. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share or bring up? We do have some time left. Okay, well, if no one has anything else they want to, sh no other updates, I'm going to give you guys a lot of time back. I'm trying not to jinx this as I did in a meeting I had with Peter and Alvaro earlier today. So, everybody have
Noticed
a good
that.
rest. Yeah. So, everybody have a good rest of your day, and talk to you over Slack. Bye all.
Thanks. Yep.
Bye.
Thanks.
Take care,
Tell everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank
Thanks.
you.
Thank
Bye.
you. Thanks, everyone. Bye.